You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Life Talk here on the Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the Director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we have a wonderful show lined up for you this morning, my friends. We're going to be focusing on prayer initiatives to spread the gospel of life, prayer initiatives to transform our society into a culture of life, into a pro-life society. And we're going to be talking this morning about Eucharistic adoration and how it is tied to spreading the gospel of life, ensuring that the sanctity of every human life is cherished and protected from conception until natural death. So we'll be speaking about that for the first half of our program with Roy Postel, who is from the Pope John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Society. And then the second half of the show, we're going to have Eric Scheidler on speaking with us about 40 Days for Life, which is a major prayer initiative of 40 consecutive days of prayer, 24 hours a day, that will be coming up in the fall, but that we're already preparing for with a major meeting on June 15th here in the Archdiocese of Chicago to prepare for that. You know, a lot of times people say, you know, we need to do lots of works, and that's definitely true. To transform our society, we need works. Ministries are very important, and the Respect Life Office has a number of ministries like post-abortion healing through Project Rachel, like chastity education programs to educate people live out that calling of chastity that God calls us all to. All sorts of works are essential to this, but what do they say? Ora et labora, right? Prayer and work. We must pray, and we can't forget the importance of prayer. As Father Crappie says, this is spiritual warfare, and we need to fight it with spiritual weapons, and that is prayer. First, I just wanted to give you some important updates, one being what's going on in Springfield, and we've had two very harmful bills, both of which were shelved for the session, and that is a great blessing. So we give God the glory for that. One was the Illinois FOCA bill, which would have compromised rights of conscience for Catholic hospitals and healthcare workers, significantly increased public funding of abortion in Illinois, mandated comprehensive sex ed starting in kindergarten in all public schools, all sorts of terrible provisions as part of this bill. And fortunately, that was defeated. They did not have the vote, so it was not called to a vote. And the same fate occurred with the Civil Unions Bill, which was in the Illinois General Assembly. It was attempted to be fast-tracked through the process at the last minute when they took a bill that basically was a kind of a shell bill in the Senate, and then they took provisions from the Civil Unions Bill and they inserted that language into this bill. And so it only needed to get out of Senate committee. It went to the House, and they did not have the votes in the House. So that was another significant victory that was not brought to a vote. And there was a ton of money behind both of these bills, friends. So much more money than the pro-life, pro-family side has. So we really thank God. We give God the glory for those victories. And then federally, the Pregnant Woman Support Act is making its way through Congress, and we really need support for that. So we encourage you to call your congressman if you would like more information on that. You can call the Respect Life Office at 312-534-5355. The Pregnant Woman Support Act. People talk about reducing abortions. This is how to do it, among other things, by providing women with resources so that they have the support they need in order to choose life for their children. And Cardinal George did a beautiful job speaking about conscience protections and working with the president on conscience protections. So the president had mentioned rights of conscience, that he supported that, and that is new information, and that's good news. So we hope that something fruitful will come out of that. In addition, there's a neat event coming up at St. Isaac Jogues Parish that I just wanted to mention on Tuesday, June 16th, where they're having a wonderful panel of speakers on June 16th at 7 p.m. And that's out in Hinsdale. And people who would like to attend can call 773-844-5842, 773-844-5842. And Mary Helen Fiorito is one of the speakers who will be part of that panel, which includes a physician. It's going to be a wonderful event on June 16th, Tuesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. And then finally, of course, unfortunately, there was a tragedy that occurred this Sunday when Dr. Tiller, who is a late-term abortionist in Kansas, was killed. And I'm sure that all of you saw the many statements of condemnation coming out from different pro-life organizations. And Cardinal Regali, who is the chair of the USCCB pro-life committee, that's for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, he made a statement, which is on the Archdiocesan website. And I encourage you to check that out at www.archchicago.org. But basically, what Cardinal Regali said is, this is against everything that we stand for, that the gospel of life is that every human life is a precious gift from conception until natural death. That is the foundation of our work, and we must always keep our eye on that. I know that many in the pro-life community are deeply grieved, including myself, by this. You know, this has not happened in more than 10 years, and you know, it comes down to that the end never justifies the means. That one can never do an evil act, you know, even if there's, you know, possibly a good intent behind that. We were just talking about that actually at the Archdiocesan Pastoral Council this past Saturday in relation to some other life issues, but we must always keep that in mind. So I encourage you to check out Cardinal Regali's statement, which is on the Archdiocesan website. Again, that's archchicago.org, www.archchicago.org. So now, what is the solution? Well, one of the main solutions is prayer. We need prayer. And with us this morning to talk about Eucharistic adoration and spreading the gospel of life is Roy Postel, who is with the Pope John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Association. Roy, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Mary Louise.
Oh, it's a blessing to have you here and on the show. And I appreciate, I know that you had to finagle some things at work to join us this morning, so we really appreciate it. Tell us a little bit, first of all, about the Pope John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Association.
Well, the association is a laity group, and we are charged with helping to spread and educate and lift up the devotion of Eucharistic adoration, or prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, in all of the parishes throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago.
That's terrific. That sounds great. Now, that seems like a huge challenge, in a sense, to get Eucharistic adoration going in parishes, because a lot of times, you know, people feel like, oh, this is too much work. We always need a person there to handle this. You know, is this a burden for the for those who, like, are like the priest who is at the parish, or the deacons? How do you overcome those challenges and help parishes to have adoration?
Well, that's a great question, and you've definitely hit on a point. The you know, the focus of the association is to underscore how this is lay-driven, and what an adoration program has to basically work from the grassroots up. So if the faithful within a parish pray on bringing this devotion to their community, and through that prayer can generate a group of people within, and a core group within their parish, they can come to the Adoration Association, to our group, for support materials and strategies, if you will, to come forward to the pastor or to an associate pastor or someone on the parish staff and propose how this might begin. And we always recommend working closely with the pastor, and to start conservatively, start small. Maybe if you have no adoration in your parish right now, possibly select it one day a month, or and only part of a day, and when it could fit with the daily mass schedule, and then have adoration end sometime in the shortly after the supper hour, where folks who work till 5 or after, could maybe come after supper, bring the family, and have an evening prayer. So that, and then as it, as the devotion builds and as the Holy Spirit begins to work within the community, the time can expand, and hearts are moved and are drawn to the Eucharist, and this is how we ask people to proceed, to be prayerful and charitable and always mindful of the resources that are untapped around them, not so much expecting this to be something that occurs from the top down, so to speak.
Yes, we're talking with Roy Postel, who is part of the Pope John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Association here in the Archdiocese. And we're talking about prayer and building, spreading the gospel of life, building a culture of life. We welcome your questions and comments, 312-255-8408. That's 312-255-8408. Maybe you're thinking, man, I would like to start adoration at my parish, or maybe you're wondering more about what is the tie between this and the gospel of life. We welcome your questions and comments. We're going to head to a break right now, and when we come back, we're going to have more with Roy Postel from the Pope John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Association. Give us a call, 312-255-8408. We'll be right back here on Life Talk.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need. I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Life Talk here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Mary Louise Curry talking with Roy Postel of the Pope John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Association. And we're talking about prayer initiatives to spread the gospel of life. And for the first half of the show, we're focusing on Eucharistic Adoration. And then the second half, we're going to talk about 40 Days for Life, which is a major prayer initiative of 40 consecutive days, 24 hours a day, that's taking place here in Chicago in the fall and all over the country. But Roy, let's get back to the matter at hand here. So the connection between adoration and the pro-life cause, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I'd be happy to, Mary Louise. The pro-life and the Eucharistic adoration, I believe, are very much connected in that our Lord's true presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist is a mystery. And it is something that is not apparent to our five senses right off. It's something that we have been given to us through the gospel, as is, I think, the case. You can draw a connection also to the gospel of life, and that life in the womb is sometimes not always apparent. Many of our brothers and sisters don't see the child in the womb as having all of the merit as you and I do as adults. But we know that is couldn't be further from the truth. Also, too, as people grow older in life, and we're seeing more and more of a challenge on the opposite end of the life scale or life cycle, that where people are marginalized as they become frail and infirmed.
Yes,
we also see this as an aspect of connection between prayer and what is apparent to God and to our Lord is not always apparent to us, and this is underscored chiefly in our faith through the Eucharist.
Wow, that's a great connection. We welcome your questions and calls, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. So, Roy, you know, my understanding is that Dr. Mark Miravalli, who is a frequent guest on Relevant Radio on their national programs, he said that in a private conversation that he had with Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, he asked Mother Teresa what it would take to rid our country of abortion. And without hesitation, she replied that if every parish in the United States would dedicate 3 hours a day of Eucharistic adoration to pray for an end to abortion, it would end. That is a miraculous statement.
It certainly is. She is definitely a woman after our hearts, even now, isn't she? Is she not? But her Blessed Mother's observation there is feeds right into the goal of the Eucharistic Adoration Association and the adorers and the many, many people in the pro-life movement across our archdiocese and across the whole country, and that prayer is really how hearts are changed and how eyes are opened, and
yes,
we are able to see the beauty of God's creation and the reality around us that's not always apparent to the five senses.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and what I find so remarkable in my work, I hang out a lot with people who are not pro-life. And that's part of my job, really, is you know, trying to get to know and penetrate the young professional community in Chicago, which is a lot of secular humanists, basically. Even, you know, some people who have some kind of faith tradition, but have really, they are great on the justice issues of the church, but not good on the life issues, totally rejecting, you know, the gospel of life, really. And so it's an interesting dichotomy, because that's where I think the church is so credible, because it is consistent from conception until natural death. And even a woman who, you know, was doing pro bono work for the ACLU and so forth told me, you know, that's where, you know, the church really is consistent. And she acknowledged that they are not consistent. You know, that didn't change her mind. But that's what points out the importance of prayer, is that here's somebody who intellectually gets it.
Right.
And yet still is not just her mind isn't changed, but she's, you know, actively promoting a pro-death agenda.
Yeah.
So what we really need, we need education initiatives. We need legislative initiatives. We need pastoral care initiatives like support for pregnant women, post-abortion healing ministries. But we also need prayer, and prayer is just essential to that mission. And I just thought it was so stunning that Mother Teresa, you know, if every parish would dedicate 3 hours a day of Eucharistic adoration to pray for an end to abortion, it would end. I just think that's amazing. And it shows the power of that kind of prayer, of being in front of the Lord's, you know, living true presence in the Eucharist.
Well, I think our Lord really longs to have a greater impact on our lives. And for your associate that works for the ACLU, her recognition right there of the consistency of the church,
mm-hmm.
you know, her heart may be closer to the kingdom than she realizes.
Hmm.
And that, you know, through further prayer and life experiences, the Holy Spirit has a finger on her already. And these are the folks that we need to continue to pray for. It's one thing to pray for a cause, but it's another thing to, you know, to personalize it. We really need to, when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament and our Lord can speak to your heart even in that silence, he wants you to set aside, you know, your neighbors as commodities. He mm-hmm. wants to steer you away from that, and to see him really there, truly present as a friend and a confidant that you can bring anything to.
Mm.
And conversion is very much on the minds of the heavenly court. And Lord knows that we can use this in our world today as a greater than ever, greater than any other time in history.
Yes, absolutely. We're talking with Roy Postel from the Pope John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Association, and we're talking about the power of Eucharistic adoration in spreading the gospel of life. And we're going to head to a break right now, actually, but when we come back, we're going to talk about a wonderful event that the Pope John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Association is having for the Year of St. Paul, and I really encourage attendance. It's going to be a tremendous event, so stay with us. We're going to be right back here on Life Talk on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Catholic Charities is providing community health fairs with free medical services to residents of Chicago and the suburbs. Our next fair is scheduled for Saturday, June 20th at Holy Cross Immaculate Heart of Mary, 4557 South Wood in Chicago. The health fairs are open to the public and offer various medical screenings, dental exams, immunizations, and general physicals for adults and children. Local social service providers will be in attendance, offering a one-stop shop approach for families in need of assistance. Volunteers are needed to do a variety of tasks at the fairs, including helping to register participants and guide them from station to station. Please call 312-655-7298 for more information. That's 312-655-7298. We hope you take advantage of our Catholic Charities Community Health Fairs.
Welcome back to Life Talk here on Relevant Radio 950 AM, Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Mary Louise Curry speaking with Roy Postel of the Pope John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Association. And we're talking today about prayer initiatives to spread the gospel of life. And before we went to a break, we were talking about a colleague of mine who does pro bono work for the ACLU, and how she was pointing out the consistency of the church's teachings. You know, that's what she found to be very persuasive, is that the church's teachings on justice and life issues. And she certainly rejects the life issues, although she's on board with the justice issues. But it just highlights how prayer is needed for conversion, you know, and the importance of prayer. And Roy, you know, the Pope John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Association does great work in promoting Eucharistic adoration throughout the Archdiocese. Maybe someday we can get to that point that Mother Teresa was talking about, of every parish dedicating 3 hours per day of adoration to pray for an end to abortion, and that if every parish in our country did that, it would end. Tell us a little bit about this wonderful event that you're having coming up for the Year of St. Paul.
Well, the event begins, it's in just 2 weeks. It's going to be held on June 12th, 11th, 12th, and 13th at St. John Cantius Parish here in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and will begin on Thursday night with Mass and on Saturday at around noontime with another Mass. But in between, we have many things planned and lots of prayer, lots of sacraments, some very interesting speakers, and just a wonderful time to lift up the devotion of Eucharistic adoration and help provide support materials and resources to anyone who wants to come and take this devotion back to their parish or augment it if it's already in place in their parish.
Wonderful. Now, I just want to alert our listeners that we're into our last segment with Roy Postel, so we welcome your questions and comments. This is sort of a last call for calls for to talk with Roy, and the number is 312-255-8408. Again, that's 312-255-8408. So, Roy, June 11th through 13th, you're having a journey. Is it called a journey with St. Paul?
A Eucharistic journey with St. Paul. And this is this event, we brought this forward with at the urging of our Episcopal moderator, Bishop Joseph Perry, here in Chicago.
Great.
And Bishop Perry will be the celebrant at the opening and closing Masses. The idea of tying this in with the year of St. Paul is in a way, celebrating the recognitions of the Universal Church. So we will have a holy hour, especially on Friday, with the St. Paul indulgence available then as well, too, to the faithful who come. And that was really sort of the tie-in. But we really do see the Feast of Corpus Christi as an opportunity for the Adoration Association to celebrate the true presence of our Lord in the Eucharist and to use this as a springboard to elevate recognition and education on the devotion of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament and the real presence of our Lord in the Eucharist year in and year out. And it is our hope that we have a wonderful partner in the folks at St. John Cantius Parish, and our hope is to continue this around on the feast or near the feast of Corpus Christi year after year and take
Wonderful.
It to other aspects of the Archdiocese.
Oh, that sounds tremendous. And I'm just curious because I love great music. Are any of the wonderful choirs at St. John Cantius going to be singing as part of that?
They most certainly will, Mary Louise, for both the opening and the closing Mass.
Wonderful.
The opening Mass on Thursday will be followed by a candlelight procession around the block of St. John Cantius,
really?
In the heart of downtown
Eucharistic.
Chicago.
You know what's remarkable? Yes. I've never in the United States participated in a Eucharistic procession. I've done that like in other countries like Ukraine and stuff, but never here in the United States. So what a great, that's a wonderful thing to be a part of. So
Thursday night,
you have Mass. What time is the Mass?
Mass will begin at about 7.
Okay,
so you want to try and come a little bit early. Of course, we always encourage ride sharing, and this is a free event, so we want everyone to come.
Uh-huh.
And the procession will follow immediately after Mass. You know, the beauty of one of the beautiful tie-in between adoration and Corpus Christi as a solemn feast within the church is the public recognition of our Lord's true presence. I mean, the outdoor procession,
this
public witness that we as members of the Universal Church can give to our neighbors. You know, there's nothing like seeing the people who are along the byway standing aside and how they stop and look at the monstrance at our Lord in the Eucharist and saying to themselves, if they're not familiar with the faith, they're thinking to themselves, what on earth is happening now?
Mm-hmm.
And it is transforming. It is otherworldly. And
Absolutely.
it is something that really drives the heart to find out more and to go deeper in their spiritual quest for Jesus here on earth.
Yes, and you know, whenever I think of Eucharistic processions, I always think of Pope John Paul II courageously as a priest in Poland under the oppression of communism, doing Eucharistic processions, you know, down the streets in Poland when it was actually forbidden.
Absolutely.
And thousands of people. And I mean, that was transformational. When we look at the fall of the Iron Curtain and everything and the huge role that John Paul II had in making that happen, of course, with Reagan and Thatcher and others, you know, that prayer was such a powerful fuel for that. And the Eucharistic Adoration Procession that we can witness public, you know, in the public square. So anyway, we're about to wrap up, Roy, but just tell us briefly, you have some other speakers as well during the weekend, June 11th through 13th. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we'll continue with adoration on Thursday night after the procession until midnight. But then on Friday, it's 18 hours of sacraments, prayer, and speakers. We begin at 6 a.m. with Mass, and the Blessed Sacrament will be reposed at midnight. But in between, we have wonderful speakers at midday. We have Father Robert Lombardo from here in Chicago.
Oh, yes, Father Bob. He's on our priest advisory board to the Respect Life office. He's fantastic.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And we also have Father Richard Simon, who listeners on Relevant Radio are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And then our evening talk will be from Father Pablo Straub. And we'll have the St. Paul Holy Hour. That'll be at 7. And then at about 8, we'll have the St. Paul Holy Hour led by Father Robert Gettard. And the whole event will be emceed by Relevant Radio's Chuck Neff.
Oh, great.
And Chuck is also, if we get our wires lined up, planning to do a remote, his show on Friday from the grounds as well, too.
Oh, so, that's great. Is that Searching the Word or
yes,
the Inner Life?
And the Inner Life.
And the Inner Life. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Both. That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. That's terrific. That sounds. And then the Saturday, are you having speakers as well?
Yes.
Saturday
we have just a morning program on Saturday because we want people to be able to participate in their Corpus Christi event within their parish on mm-hmm. Sunday, and mm-hmm. they'll need part of Saturday to get ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
So on Saturday in the morning, we have early Mass, and then we're going to have adoration and a special holy hour for children, and that'll be led by Reverend Charlie Becker from Chicago as well,
Father
too.
Father Becker, yes.
So we're going to have
these tremendous priests.
Absolutely. Our organizers have really done a top-shelf job with getting a really high first-rate group of speakers for the faithful to inspire them about St. Paul, about the Eucharist, the Feast of Corpus Christi, and our beautiful Catholic faith.
How wonderful. And you can so clearly see the tie between this and the Gospel of Life. All of those priests are very active in spreading the Gospel of Life in the pro-life movement here in Chicago and in the parishes. What a great blessing. Well, Roy, it's been great to have you with us here on Life Talk.
Well, thank you very much, Mary Louise, for asking us to be a part of your show, and we'll do it again sometime, maybe.
That sounds great.
Okay.
That sounds great. Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you. That was Roy Postel from the Pope John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Association. And for more information, people can go to www.pjp2ea.org. That sounds a little complicated, but just think it's the first letter of each word and the number two. So it's Pope John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Association, pjp2ea.org. And when we come back, we're going to have with us Eric Scheidler of the Pro-Life Action League, who's going to be talking with us about 40 Days for Life. We've got a very important kickoff meeting coming up for that in a couple of weeks. So stay with us. We're going to be right back here with Eric Scheidler on Life Talk on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah.
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
This is Cardinal Francis George with a personal invitation to join my internet-based network. Beginning in Holy Week, it will be my pleasure to send you short reflections to help you on your spiritual journey. You can sign up by going to our website, at www.archchicago.org. All we need is your email address. That's www.archchicago.org. Thanks for joining the Cardinals Network as we use the internet to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk here on the Catholic Community of Faith. Mary Louise Curry, and I have a wonderful guest coming up right now that I'm so excited to introduce to all of you. And he's a familiar name to all of you because he is active in the pro-life movement and, of course, has some very famous parents who have done wonderful work in the pro-life movement, acclaimed by Cardinal Bernardine in particular because they have a very important Supreme Court case named after them. And this person is none other than Eric Scheidler. Eric, thanks for being with us this morning on Life Talk.
Mary Louise, I'm very glad to be here.
It's wonderful to have you on the show. You know, Eric, in particular, you know, you've done such a tremendous job with mobilizing people out at the Aurora Abortion Facility. And in particular, this led into 40 Days for Life. Can you tell us a little bit about 40 Days for Life? Because we have this meeting coming up in Chicago to gear up for 40 Days for Life this fall.
Well, Mary Louise, I think what we faced out here in Aurora really capsulizes the whole purpose and mission and urgency of 40 Days for Life. If I could, let me give you a little bit of background on what happened here and why I think that it's so indicative of the desperate need nationally for this campaign. We found out in the very end of June of 2007, began to get rumors that Planned Parenthood was building a facility here in Aurora. In July, the story broke in the papers that because of a lot of questions being asked of city officials and of the press and so forth, the press finally found out that Planned Parenthood was going to be moving into Aurora, that they had created a front company, an assumed name, so nobody knew they were coming, none of the neighbors, none of the city council members who had reviewed all of their applications in which they lied about their identity. And we found ourselves with just about 45 days before Planned Parenthood was going to be opening their doors. And not just any doors, but the doors of the largest abortion facility in the United States, built undercover.
Hmm.
What can you do? I mean, the thing is almost done.
Yeah.
The only thing we could think of to begin was prayer. And I felt as if we needed prayer on a biblical scale. So I called up my good friend David B. Wright, who's the national director of the 40 Days for Life campaign, and I asked his advice. I said, David, we've only got a few days before the 40-day period before this opening of this facility would start. Can we do it? Do you think we can pull it off? And David was very encouraging. He gave us a lot of great advice and urged us to do it. So this was on the dawn of the first really big national 40 Days for Life campaign around the country, but
yes,
we were a little bit in advance of it.
Right.
A few weeks. So instead of, you know, 6 or 8 weeks, people all around the country were already deep into their planning at the time that we decided to even do this thing. And so we had about 3 or 4 days to prepare for a 40-day vigil. With the Holy Spirit's help, with grace, with the urgency that was created by the fact that this facility had come to town, people were really outraged about it, we were able to launch an incredibly successful vigil.
Yes.
Tremendous fruits came out of it. And in fact, one of the greatest things about this vigil was that Planned Parenthood was actually kept shut for 2.5 more weeks after the time they were supposed to open.
Hmm.
Because there had been such an outcry about the fraudulent way they had come to town.
Yes.
And so it was a 55-day vigil. We had round-the-clock participation every single hour, day and night, rain or shine, starting from the swampy heat of August all the way through to the chill of October.
I remember, you know, and I remember that our the Respect Life Office staff actually took a day at that vigil.
That's
I think
right.
It was the assumption because we had the day off. We get some of these feast days off as staff of the Archdiocese, so we covered that day. But yeah, what a tremendous effort. You know, Eric, nowadays, because of the tragic murder of Dr. Tiller, the late-term abortionist in Kansas, you know, which we spoke about briefly earlier on the show, and how, you know, that just goes against everything we stand for in terms of the gospel of life, that every human life is a gift, that the end never justifies the means. You know, it's just a horrific act that pro-life groups throughout the country have condemned. But people may be afraid now to go out and pray. You know, 40 Days for Life is coming up. I think it's September 29th, I think, or 23rd, rather, maybe, through November 1st. But we're having an important kickoff meeting that you're going to be speaking at on June 15th, on Monday, June 15th at St. Mary of the Angels. And people now may feel reticent because of this tragic, violent event that occurred in Kansas on Sunday. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, I think that one of the dangers that comes out of this this despicable murder of Dr. George Tiller is that pro-lifers will listen to what the press and even perhaps some in the Obama administration and, of course, all those on the pro-choice camp are saying. They're telling us that we need to tone it down, we need to relax, we need to you know, maybe just write letters and not do anything active.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that, of course, is that the last thing they want to really think about is how horrific abortion really is. The thing about 40 Days for Life is that it creates a local sense of urgency. That's what happened in Aurora, and it launched a tremendous movement. We've had prayer coverage out there. We've had sidewalk counselors out there. We're saving babies from abortion. We're still fighting Planned Parenthood in the courts, numerous court cases, and someday we're going to shut them down. All starting from prayer. Prayer is the key.
Yes.
I can understand the kind of sense of frantic urgency that might lead somebody to contemplate violence. What I can't understand I appreciate the urgency, but the violence is completely contrary to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to take that urgency, that sense of outrage at the violence of abortion, of sympathy for the unborn child, and address it the way that Christ does, by offering himself as a sacrifice.
Yes, that's right.
Offering himself.
And how can we, you know, instruct, how can we teach and educate that killing is wrong if somebody is killing? I mean, it's absolutely pathetic and horrible and despicable and ridiculous, but tragic.
We're being told that if we say abortion is murder, abortion is homicide, that somehow we're encouraging this vigilantism. Well, precisely the opposite is the case. When we say that abortion is murder, what we're saying is it's a horrific crime. We're not saying go murder someone else. It's murder itself that we're condemning.
Exactly. That's right, exactly. Yeah,
the answer is prayer and putting ourselves there, being present. I know you've been talking about Eucharistic adoration, and I think that's a key connection. As Catholics, we recognize the need to be there before the Blessed Sacrament, before our Lord.
Yes.
And it's a great thing to pray from home. It's a great thing to pray in your car as you're driving to work and, you know, at any moment of the day. But to be there in his very physical presence is just essential. It's an essential part of the faith and a great source of nourishment for the whole church. Likewise, putting our own flesh, our bodies there and from the abortion facility, peacefully witnessing against abortion. We need that now in the wake of this Tiller killing more than ever before.
Absolutely. We really do. I mean, the prayer is so urgently needed. This also highlights, too, the wisdom of the 40 Days for Life campaign in that all the participants sign a statement of peace, that if they're going to pray out in front of the clinic, they will use only peaceful means. They'll work with the police. And because we work with the police in setting everything up to make sure that, everything goes smoothly and that they know what we're doing and everything like that. But, you know, I think that's just a beautiful thing that a lot of people don't know is, hey, you know, we've all signed a statement of peace. So what we're doing is absolutely, you know, aligned with the law. It's aligned with God's plan. And that's, that's an important thing.
You know, we just can't let this horrible tragedy this week throw us off course.
Mm-hmm.
Our mission is a mission of peace. It's the most peaceful social justice movement in the history of our country, despite these extremely rare occurrences of violence. There's There's a strong record at abortionviolence.com that the pro-life movement is a peaceful movement, the most peaceful movement America's ever seen. And the opportunity to participate that, be the antidote, the answer to what happened in Wichita on Sunday, is there for all of us if we simply go out and prayerfully, peacefully make ourselves present at the abortion facility during the 40 Days for Life campaign.
Absolutely. We're talking with Eric Scheidler, who is the Communications Director of the Pro-Life Action League, about 40 Days for Life, and we're going to head to a break right now. We welcome your questions and comments at 312-255-8408. Again, that's 312-255-8408. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more about prayer initiatives to spread the gospel of life. How can you become involved with this important 40 Days for Life campaign? Stay tuned. We're going to be talking about all that and more here on Life Talk with Eric Scheidler, 312-255-8408. We'll be right back.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, enjoy our Finding Grace series, The Seven Deadly Sins and Their Heavenly Virtues.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
May is the month of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and Cardinal George has some helpful suggestions for how we can express our devotion. And Pope Benedict declares the year of the priest and travels to countries of the Middle East. We'll talk to Cardinal George about these stories and more in this latest edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
We're back here on Life Talk talking about prayer initiatives to spread the gospel of life. And we're speaking with Eric Scheidler, who is the Communications Director of the Pro-Life Action League. We welcome your questions and comments at 312-255-8408. Again, that's 312-255-8408. So, Eric, before the break, we were talking about 40 Days for Life, and we're having an important meeting on June 15th at St. Mary of the Angels at 6:30 p.m. We're inviting everyone to come as we're talking about launching 40 Days for Life. We're working with a lot of different groups on this, Pro-Life Action League, the women's centers, which are pregnancy resource centers, Illinois Right to Life Committee, the Knights of Columbus, Couples for Christ, Foundation for Family and Life. So the meeting is going to be in the church basement, in the museum room in the church basement at St. Mary the Angels on June 15th, 6:30 p.m. We'll have food. Everybody is invited. Eric, you're going to be one of our main speakers at that meeting. What are you going to tell people?
Well, I just want to share the message of how important it is for people to get involved in pro-life. And I think, really, there's so many things that have happened lately that make that more true than ever before. People were really dismayed by the election results. we saw the most pro-abortion administration in U.S. history come into office. And in their first 100 and some days, Barack Obama's administration has implemented measure after measure opposed to life. You know, for all the
right.
talk about common ground and so forth, we've seen conscience restrictions for conscience protections for our healthcare workers threatened. We've seen the effort here in Illinois,
the Illinois
pumped
FOCA.
Up.
Yeah.
Illinois FOCA bill, I think, was inspired by the spirit of sort of triumph from the pro-choice side.
The Mexico City policy was rescinded so that we now export abortion, basically paying for abortion overseas.
We have Kathleen Sebelius, very pro-abortion Catholic,
right.
ex-former governor of Kansas at the Department of Health and Human Services. So it's been very, very dark in the political sphere. But what I think people need to realize is how much growth and hope there has been on the activist side. Among people out...
Oh, we forgot to mention expanded funding of embryonic stem cell research.
Of course. I mean, the list goes on and on.
There are, I think, a few other things, too. But anyway, go on.
I mean, the scandalous talk at Notre Dame, that was, I think, part of the purpose of that was to demoralize the pro-life movement, to make us feel marginalized and like we're not really part of the dialogue. But, of course, we are. And one of the key ways that we can do that we can be an answer in this time of tremendous questions and concerns, is to put ourselves there outside the abortion facilities. This is a real opportunity that we have right now. We've been, in a way, the limitations that come with having an unfriendly administration to the pro-life cause in the White House, and also, in Springfield here in the state of Illinois, provides us with, an urgency to take part in the pro-life movement ourselves. Each and every person who for
right.
many years have been sitting there saying, I wish I were involved, and I'm against abortion, but what do I do? Well, this is such a simple thing to do. It's not a lifelong commitment. It's not anything controversial. There's, nothing but going out, signing up for an hour, maybe a couple of hours over the course of 40 days, and standing and praying.
Yes.
What I want to emphasize is how much this transforms people. How much more hope they have for the future when they go out to the abortion facilities and pray, when they come to any kind of pro-life activity, how much they feel like it's not just a sort of hopeless cause that's out there in the world and I just worry about. It's something I'm addressing. I'm doing something about it.
And something so powerful and proactive. I remember, for a long time I was pro-life, and I would take place, like Wisconsin had a kind of a rally at the Capitol, and I was part of that and things like that. But I never actually prayed outside an abortion clinic, and I was really actually afraid of doing that. And I remember the first time that I did that, and it was at a Helpers of God's Precious Infants vigil with Bishop Gettert, and I think we started at like St. Joseph's Church, which is over near the Cabrini Green area, and then we walked to Planned Parenthood after Mass, and I just wept. I mean, I was so upset and emotionally, and people who know me know I'm like a very even keel person, but I was just so, like, it was just so hard to be out there and seeing people going in to have abortions, and the organizer of that event, Julie McCreevy, said, it's important that we're here because we're like Mary at the foot of the cross. These babies are not dying alone. We are there in a loving, prayerful presence. It's not a protest. It's praying. And to be there at the foot of the cross, it's so important. And that's what I think is so beautiful about 40 Days for Life, is that we're praying for the transformation of our society, and we're not letting those children die forgotten. We are there as a prayerful presence with them.
That's right. And, it may sound as if experiencing that, witnessing someone walking into an abortion facility and praying so hard that they'll come out. I remember several times I've been out at abortion facilities, and a couple has come back out, and clearly they're struggling with the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you can see the concern on their face and the talk that they're having about it, and you pray that they'll turn away. And so often they don't. They go back in. It's a very, very painful thing to see. It's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you feel like you need to be there.
Yes.
And I've never regretted seeing that. Even though it makes the abortion issue more present to you, when it's a real family that's being destroyed, motherhood, fatherhood, and childhood all being destroyed in that moment of abortion, because you have someone particular to think about and to pray for, I think it still gives you a greater sense of purpose and hope, even though it is more difficult.
Right.
You know, with a greater awareness of the evil of abortion comes a greater grace that you can participate in God's saving action in the world by praying for those who go through with that decision. You've
Absolutely.
Got a face that you can connect to that prayer.
Yes. And so, Eric, the way that 40 Days for Life works, of course, getting to kind of the planning issues, which are important, is that there are basically day captains who sign up to on behalf usually of a parish, but it could be on behalf of a family or another group, to cover a day, to cover a 24-hour period, midnight to midnight, basically. Or two parishes, for example, could go in on a day. So one parish takes midnight to noon, the other takes noon to, you know, the afternoon up until the midnight, the next midnight, the second half of the day. And you know, Eric, I don't know if you know, but we already have 1/5 of our days covered for 40 Days for Life this fall. Isn't that incredible?
But,
But people need to come to this meeting in order to find out more and sign up to be a day captain and things like that. Some people, though, are intimidated by that, about taking on that task of covering, finding people to cover a whole day. Do you have any tips for them on that?
Yeah, I can understand how difficult of a task that is, because, you know, we had to try to do that with no planning at all. We didn't have months in advance out here in Aurora in 2007. And it is tough, but there's a lot that we can do. And I think the main thing is you simply need to ask people to help. And Mary Louise, that's advice I'm giving to you as well as everybody else. Those who come to the meeting, you're going to be asked to help. And you may be asked to be a day captain. So I ask you to pray about that and be open to that.
Yes.
But when it comes to recruiting people at your local parish, the key thing is to simply ask them. You don't want to be passive and just kind of hope that someone will come up to you, maybe put a notice in the bulletin, and then wait for people to show up. Go up to your friends and say, can I count on you to help me with this? I know that you are pro-life. I know that you care about this. Can you take an hour, maybe two-hour slots on our church's day? And just ask them in a charitable offering way. Because let me tell you, you're not begging. You're not bugging them. You are providing them an opportunity.
Yes.
I've just seen it over and over again. I remember one day, I was going out to visit the vigil at the Planned Parenthood building. It wasn't opened yet. And I saw this family of about 6 kids, and I figured they're walking down towards the parking lot. I figured they've got to be coming from the vigil, 6 kids. So I went up to them, and I introduced myself. They were a little standoffish at first because they didn't know who I was. They knew my name but not my face. And I introduced myself, and they said, we just want to thank you, kids. Aren't we so glad we came? We have been pro-life our whole lives. We've never done anything before. Here, these people spent an hour at my request to come out there, and they're thanking me.
That's awesome.
Because they saw that an opportunity to witness to Christ had been given to them.
Yes.
Now, just have faith that the people you're asking at your church will be grateful. You are giving them an opportunity. Maybe they don't know it yet, but that's what they're going to find out. If you simply offer them the chance to be part of this mission, they will be grateful and they'll say yes.
Amen. Well, Eric, I thank you so much for being with us on Life Talk this morning. And again, I want to make a plug for everybody to come out to St. Mary the Angels Parish on Monday, June 15th, 6:30 p.m. We're going to have food and learn more about 40 Days for Life. And if you have any questions, you can call the Respect Life office at 312-534-5355. Again, that's 312-534-5355. Eric, thanks so much for being with us on Life Talk this morning. You've inspired us all to get out there and pray. And everybody, I think, who's listening to this show is called to do a rosary today for the gospel of life and the conversion of our country. What do you think?
I think so, Mary. Let me tell you what, to give people a little more of an incentive to come to the meeting, I want to give a handbook called Sharing the Pro-Life Message, 96 pages packed with all the answers to the pro-life questions that you're going to face as a pro-life Catholic. I will give a copy of that to everyone who comes to this meeting. I'll bring a case of them. Everyone who comes gets a copy of Sharing the Pro-Life Message.
Wonderful. Eric Scheidler, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
My pleasure. God bless you.
God bless you. And friends, thank you for being with us, listening in. And again, you can contact the Respect Life office about any of these ministries that you heard. I hope to see you at these upcoming events, especially Monday, June 15th. And keep persevering with spreading the gospel of life. God bless you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.